This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Betts with Professor Richard Epstein discussing the remarks by the President of the United States, Mr. Biden, the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, joined in by the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Gordon Brown, and what Mr. Brown reports 100 other dignitaries, saying that war crimes are a model in the past to apply to Vladimir Putin's war of aggression and depredation and clearly attacks on civilian populations at random right now in Ukraine. However, the issue of governance and the issue of rights, Richard, there are three issues that immediately come to mind about not just setting up the tribunal. Let's post the fact that the tribunal is established without the resolution of the war. If Mr. Putin seeks to travel outside of Russia, can he be detained? Do you detain his confederates? That is, not only the generals serving in Ukraine, but the so-called Siloviki, his said to be close advisors, the only people he talks to, the head of their security services. And then the question is, if you do all this and detain, have you not deprived a nation state, Russia, of its elected leadership? And who is the arbiter for that? These questions are immediately at hand, because otherwise Vladimir Putin, who leads a nation that's part of the G20, would seek to travel again once the hostilities have at least moved to a ceasefire.
Well, I think the answer about this is, this is a very gutsy maneuver. And the moment you put the word special in front of the word tribunal, all bets from general practice, I think, off. I think that was the point of what it was that Brown suggested, is that he knew that you couldn't get this through the International Court in The Hague, and so you don't want to try that. NATO itself is not an adjudicative body. It's a defensible line, so they can't do it in particular well. You're very uneasy about trying to find some particular nation, say Poland or United States, in order to do the trials. So you're going to go special. Once you do that, then I think all the other stuff is off. I think the answer is, if it turns out that Putin is guilty, then the standard rules having to do with advice, conspiracy attempts, and all the rest of that stuff would mean that the very least the senior people would be involved. How far down the ranks you go, I think, is a nice academic question. But if you could knock off the head and get the top 10 people into this, you're not going to worry about the next 1,000 people. Those can be taken care of in Russia if there's a change in regime. And I think the point of this thing is to force a regime change in Russia. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The United States and the rest of the Western world have now found that Mr. Putin is just utterly unacceptable as an international leader. And if that's the case, then you have to force him out. I think it would be very imprudent for the United States or anybody else to try to tell Russia, once Mr. Putin is in chains and in prison somewhere, we're going to pick whose successor and title is going to be. At that point, you leave it to the political processes inside Russia. And even if it turns out they pick somebody who's truly terrible, if they're not part of the former inner circle, what happens is you just have to await your time until he tries to do something as rash and foolish as Mr. Putin has done at this time. So I think the answer to all those questions is, yes, you're going to make an affront to sovereignty. Yes, you're going to go after the Confederates. And yes, you're going to try to imprison and capture Mr. Putin if he leaves outside the country. He can say he's going to do the same thing to everybody else. But remember, Russia is a small country in terms of its overall capacity. And it's one country at this point, and there's nobody except stooge states that are going to be with him. There may be some people who will stay neutral on this particular situation, but I don't think he's going to get anybody. And I've not heard, maybe you, John, have. Is there anybody outside of Belarus who has actually announced that they agree with what Mr. Putin has done?
No, the Chinese are teasing this. The People's Republic of China are teasing this right now, but there's no declaration. Final thought, Richard. The understanding at the UN is that you do not try war criminals in absentia. You need to have possession, you know, habeas corpus. But in absentia, is that something that can be adjudicated by the tribunals? They had the Nuremberg criminals in hand. We have about a minute.
The answer is all bets are off. As I said at the beginning of the show, the Nuremberg trials took place after the war is over. This is taking place in the middle of what is by every definition a war. And so you have to make that kind of an alteration. Nobody likes to do trials in absentia because it turns out there's no opportunity for a defendant to mount some kind of a defense, which is extremely important in criminal cases, because even if somebody is guilty as a criminal, it's not at all clear what the severity of the offense is or even the category of the particular events in question. So I don't like all of this stuff, but I think what happens is they're not going to try him in absentia, but they're going to push very, very hard on all these other fronts to continue the isolation. And then remember, this then combines with the financial situation, Russia in default, and there's simply no banking services or essentials coming into the country. It may be that he's going to be toppled, and God knows, they may topple him, and they may decide to try him as a war criminal in their own area, at which point this tribunal will be there. John, there's a high level of uncertainty in this case, and nobody actually knows what's going on. But the word special means you're playing by a set of rules which have yet to be made up.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,